It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with David Pogge and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential. On this episode, Pastor Jay and David discuss the path of the godly. Check it out.
I am excited. I am excited, hopefully, for some new blood in college football. Like, I would love to see Florida State, because I think Florida State has a chance to be in the college football playoff this year.
Wow.
I think a good chance.
And if they'll beat Clemson?
If they beat LSU, I think they'll get in the college football playoff. Because I think LSU is going to win the SEC West.
You do? You think LSU is going to beat Alabama?
Yeah. Beat Bama last year. I watched that game the other day, by the way. They beat Bama last year, and Jaden Daniels, you know, the Florida State game, he was awful. Like, he was learning, he was growing.
Right.
Like,
Florida State missed the extra point.
Yeah, but you sucked the whole game. I mean, y'all, it wasn't a good
terrible
game.
Like, Joe and I were, like, in Depressionville, and then by the end, we had our hopes up.
Yeah.
And then we missed
just to get it ripped out. I love that. It's going to be interesting. I think Florida State's got a good team, but let's get the family goals.
So let me ask you how you're doing with all that's going on with you. Your whole world's changed, and
I'm so wonderful. So great. Like, let's just talk about me in a podcast again. Let's do that.
What about some of your speaking? I hadn't heard some of the latest.
It's been super cool. Super cool. Warner Robins, Liberty University. They're going to 9,000 kids. That's going to be cool. That's coming up in the very near future. So definitely been taking off and preaching to the middle school kids over there at the Oconee campus. Like, we got a little bit going on.
Are you taking over student ministry?
Not yet. I figure it'll be soon. You know, get rid of Colton.
Put Colton in the back seat.
Yeah,
you're taking over.
Hey, that driver's license picture. He should have been in the back seat, but golly.
Did you see that?
Yes. Our student pastor, I swear to goodness, we need to put this on social when we do this episode. Like, he has a picture of him holding a driver's license, and I swear to goodness, he looks like he's 8 years old.
Yeah.
Like, what? Whoever said, I got it from you at the wedding a while ago. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I had to save that as his profile pic. Yep. And every time he texted me this morning, by the way, and I was like, just laughing.
He was a late bloomer.
Yeah.
He was very much.
An understatement. Late, he literally, late developer. I think Nicholas was bigger than him as a 6 year old.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a tiny, tiny kid.
Nicholas is huge.
He's getting bigger.
It was great seeing him yesterday and to see him raising his hands in worship.
Yeah.
In church. I mean, that was like.
There is
super cool.
There is no better feeling. I mean, there's nothing that makes me more emotional than that. Like, seeing my kids in praise and worship and really getting into it. Like, that's I can't help it. Like, I can't stop it. There's nothing that gets me. There's nothing that makes me happier for my kids. It's not. I don't get excited and jacked up when they play sports. I don't get excited and jacked up when they're just hanging around the house. But when you see that, man, like, it's a
it's genuine. Cool deal. It's real.
Yeah,
it's cool genuine. Deal. I mentioned earlier about your speaking. I love you texted me. You went to Trustville, Alabama, and about 100 kids accepted Christ.
Yeah.
Came down from, was this an FCA event?
Yeah, it was FCA. What's been cool throughout the season, because obviously football being back, like, it's different. You know, like, I'm used to being gone every Saturday, but God's been just kind of like, yeah, you see this. You see this. Like, you know, the Garrett story we covered, like, that's just awesome. I mean, unbelievable, life-changing. Speaking to these churches and seeing people, you know, change their life, being able to impact my kids at the high school more and being there every single Friday night. That is so cool, man. Having a headset now changes the game too, by the way. Like, it is.
They let you have a headset.
They gave me a headset.
They're letting you in.
Oh man, it's awesome. Like, you talk about, like, it doesn't take a lot to excite me. I'm an easily excitable person, but just listening to the headset and hearing football and the coaches talk back and forth. Like, I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, what are we going to do next? Are we thinking about this? Did we do this? Did we do that? I keep my.
Can you keep your mouth shut? Oh, what is this going on?
You know better than that. Like, no, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. But if you keep your microphone down, everybody hears you. But if you put it up, nobody hears you. So I keep mine up. I've never put mine down. But it's just so awesome because football is such a chess match, but everybody gets happier. I mean, having college football in our lives now and being able to see it and watch it and, man, it's just awesome. It's so cool.
Back to Colton. Colton thinks he's good at fantasy football, and he keeps trying to get into the great. We have a Greystone Elite League.
He's in.
No, he's not in the Elite League.
Oh, he's in the
Staff League.
Oh.
And he keeps trying to get in the Elite League. Colton, if you could make the playoffs for the staff, the office ladies are dominating Colton.
That's very ungood.
He can't even get in the top three of the staff league. And he's trying to get in with the big boys.
In fairness to Colton, I will give Colton some slack here because he's doing his fantasy football draft at church, and he's preaching. And he's got his phone, and he's introducing, and he's doing a draft. And I'm like, y'all couldn't have picked a better time than you leading the high school worship and preaching up here? I mean, that ain't the easiest way to get a draft done. So your scheduling of that definitely put him behind the eight ball there, homeboy.
I asked Colton, I said, is Sunday night or Monday night better for you for the draft? And he said, it doesn't matter to me. I'm like,
well, that's stupid. He's got church on Sunday night, okay? So that's his fault.
But I gave him the opportunity. That's what I'm saying. He's not as smart as he thinks
he is. I'm in worship, and our new the lady that sung the other night, by the way, she was incredible. As soon as she finished, I went up on stage and I was like, you were unbelievable. She was unbelievable, incredible. You might know who she is, Holly. She had the long blonde hair. I don't know who she is, but oh my gosh.
This is the student?
The student, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the high school students at Greystone, but she was incredible. But literally, Colton, I'm praising, worshiping, and I'm getting into it, and I'm excited and loving it, and I get a tap on my shoulder, and I get a phone handed to me, and it's Colton. He's like, hey, I just need you to do my fantasy draft. He's like, I got to go preach. I'm like, okay.
You were doing his draft for him?
So literally, I started doing his draft. I started taking people during the draft for him, which is why his draft is really solid. He's got a good draft, by the way. His team on the staff league, who's in that? Are you in that, Jolin?
No, I'm not.
Okay, because if Jolin's in that, he's going to lose. Whoever's in with him.
Are you in that one?
You're going to lose that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a really good team.
So he got another league going with some of his buddies, some of his groomsmen, and he created the league, and he made himself the very first draft pick.
Oh,
and he got so much heat for it.
I bet.
He's like, oh, I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know I made myself the first draft
pick. I don't think fantasy football being the first pick is all that. I would actually rather be the last pick in the first round than the first pick because I'm going to get two of the top. If it's 10 teams in the league, then I'm going to get the two of the top 11. So I don't actually necessarily mind that. But, I mean, it's kind of a punk move. I mean, are you surprised by Colton?
Not at all.
That doesn't surprise me at all, but... We probably need to get off of Colton and probably get into something that we can actually help people with.
I'm trying to pull up his team. I'm pulling up Colton's. What's his name? Dub Bryant.
We're still going through fantasy football.
Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
By the way,
he's got a pretty good squad.
He's got a great squad. I helped draft it. By the way, when you go through things in your life and you start to prioritize things, I think we all have those things that need to go away.
It might be
fantasy football for some people that are distractions, that are busyness, and because you can't even stay on topic right now.
I was on my knees this morning praying about that because I was checking my draft and I was like, I really need to be preparing for the Family Goals podcast and praying and being in the Word of God. I almost didn't do it this year. I'm not as into it, but it'll be very easy.
It's why I had to stop video games.
It'll be very easy to beat Colton.
When we get older, we do start to see those things in your lives that you really love. I love fantasy football. I love video games, but I also have to realize, I only have so much time in a day, and if I'm going to read and I'm going to study and I'm going to do things that are actually worth my time, I got to sacrifice some things. And I think you see that as you get older. But it's been, it's one of those things that I think definitely helps us when we eliminate some of the clutter and busyness of clicking and doing and just getting going. So,
yeah, I thought we would dive into one of my messages recently at Greystone Church. The title of the message was The Path of the Godly, and it comes from Psalm chapter 1, verse 6, says, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. And I love the idea that God is watching over us, that God is watching over my marriage, that God is watching over my kids, that we're living under His protection.
Who else would you want? I thought you articulated that great. It'd be great to have a mom, a dad, a president, whatever, but God, God is in it. He is in your life. He's watching over you. I thought one thing that really stood out, or I wrote next to it, do you think of yourself as godly? Because, you know, the path of godly begins at the cross, and you talked mm-hmm. about that, and I thought that was good to start with. But do you think of yourself as godly?
I don't think most of us think of ourselves as godly because we know that we're looking at fantasy football instead of like reading the scriptures. You know, like we're not perfect.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we view ourselves as godly, and we don't view ourselves as priest. Like,
yeah.
You know, that we have a direct relationship with God, that we don't have to go through, you know, a holier person. Like, we can go directly to Jesus. And so that's a hard thing to grasp, but we're not godly in and of ourselves.
Yeah.
We're godly because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and God is the one transforming us. God is the one who is making us more like Him.
Yeah, and I think it can stop us from doing stuff. But then you went on, you said the path of the godly is a life of service. And I like that too, because like there's reading John, you know, when Jesus is washing his disciples' feet, and thank goodness we didn't do that in church. You know,
well, it's still everybody about that, because I was tricked. Well,
that was a while ago, but and we've already talked about it on the podcast, but it was a while ago, but that was a scary moment that you literally scared everybody in the church. I'm glad you said what you said afterwards. You said you might as well bring the snakes out next, because the proposition of you washing feet scared just about everybody. And you probably would have lost at least 75% of your congregation if you washed feet.
Several people told me that they were like not participating.
Sprinting out the door.
But the example that I was using was that Jesus humbled himself. He put a towel around his waist, and he got on his hands and knees, and he washed his disciples' feet. And so he modeled for us serving others, that he humbled himself. And I can't think of anything more humbling than, like, have you ever had anyone wash your feet?
I have. I didn't enjoy it, but I have. But there's two things to me that stand out about that when you say that, though. The biggest takeaway for me is that if the King of Kings and the most important person in this world serves, I dang sure better serve. So if he's going to live a life of service and he's going to serve others, I am going to do the same thing. But there's one other thing that really, really sticks out with me. It also, to me, means no one is beneath being served. Mm. Because Jesus got down on his hands and knees and he washed Judas's feet. Mm.
That's a tremendous point. Knowing that he was about to betray him.
He was going
to
betray. Like, yeah, I'd have washed his feet in lighter fluid and, like, lit him on fire. I mean, but he literally got down and washed somebody that would betray. I think about enemies in my life. Like, I don't want to be in the same room. I don't want to think about them. I don't have good things to say about them. And as I've gotten older, I've learned to pray for my enemies, because I can't be mad at people that I pray for. It's just impossible. But he literally got down on his hands and knees and washed Judas's feet. That's incredible. So not only is
Jesus telling us to love our enemies,
he showed us
how he loved his enemies by washing their feet.
No matter who you are, no matter what you think you've done, you are not, or where you woke up in life and where you're at or where your title is now, you need to serve. Like, you have to serve, you should serve. And we'll talk about more how to find things to serve. And no matter who you come across in your path and what you think of them and what they've done, they deserve to be served.
And I love what Jesus said when we got into Matthew chapter 20, because the disciples were arguing over who is the greatest. And I love that, you know, James and John and
Peter,
your mom is very assertive. And so I could just kind of, I looked at your mom when I was preaching the sermon about the mom got involved, because mm-hmm. the mom wanted James and John, the sons of thunder, to sit at Jesus' right and left.
Such a dope name, though. You're right, though. That is WrestleMania, like, 1980s, the sons of thunder.
And Jesus is the one that gave him that name.
Yeah, that's so dope.
Jesus is funny. He's got a great
underrated sense of humor.
He's got a great sense of humor. I don't think we draw that out in him. But he says, if you want to be great, you know, be a servant. If you want to be first, be like the kingdom of God is complete opposite than the kingdom of this world. It really is swimming upstream. It really is going. It is being different, and that's what I was saying. The message is that you're different than the rest of the world, and if you want to be great, you humble yourself. And we could get in some great arguments about the goat because I was throwing out.
I almost threw something at you in the middle of a service.
I know you're probably wanting to bring up LeBron.
Well, Kobe would have been fine.
You said Magic and
Jordan. Like no, there's not a debate of anyone who knows what they're talking about have ever gone. I think Magic's the best player to ever play. Like nobody's ever said that.
So, full disclosure here.
It was awful.
I had Jordan and Kobe in my notes.
Well, you didn't say Kobe. Okay. Thank gosh. You said Jordan and Magic.
Yeah, I know.
Go over your other players, by the way, too, real quick.
Yeah, so I'm going to read my notes.
Yeah, I want you to
going off script yesterday.
Okay, well, that was...
I was preaching in Birkenstocks for the first time.
I get it, but that was an egregious error that you probably lost some people at the church that day. But I want to hear the other sports guys you used because I didn't think you used other ones well either, but continue.
But that was on purpose.
No, it wasn't. It was on purpose. That's a lie.
No. Anyways. Jordan and Kobe, Montana and Brady, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, quarterback.
I'd go Mahomes and Brady, but okay.
Oh, Mahomes, okay. Ali and Tyson.
Ali Frazier. Nobody thinks Tyson's one of the best of all time.
You don't think?
Like Ali, Sugarway Leonard. Iron Mike had a flash in the pan that was most dominant in the history of the sport, and then he disappeared and quit. No, absolutely not.
You're mixing weight classes here.
No, mixing weight classes.
Sugar Ray Leonard and Ali.
It doesn't have to be weight class. Did we do Magic's weight versus MJ's weight? Magic weighed more than MJ, so they shouldn't have played. Anyways, continue.
Well, Magic was the greatest point guard of all time. He made people better. At least I didn't throw Larry Bird in there, which that's what I really wanted to do. Messi and Pele.
Know nothing about soccer.
Jolan said Ronaldo. People might have thought I should have said Ronaldo.
Yeah, I don't know anything about soccer.
And then Nadal and Federer.
Djokovic has more majors than both of them.
I know, I mentioned that. Did I mention?
No, you didn't.
I threw Djokovic.
No, you didn't. Not in our service. You didn't.
Maybe it was a different service. I get confused on the services.
Same.
But I did say Djokovic at some point. But yeah, Djokovic probably is the greatest of all time.
He's won the most majors. Yeah.
I would give it to
And then
him,
Nadal owned Federer head-to-head, and Nadal has more majors. So the Federer era was the most dominant era probably, but those guys, longevity-wise, have been greater for longer.
We're just big Federer fans.
I mean,
We love Fed. And then I said Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus.
It's not debatable, I don't think. I don't think it's debatable. Those two are the best two in golf. Like
so I was right on. I think you give me one.
You're one for all of them. So, which is.
But you know nothing about soccer.
Nothing about soccer. But I love the true greatness comes from serving others. I think we could probably adopt that more throughout our day, throughout our life. And then I love this, and I want you to share it because I loved it. I wrote it down because I think it's something to share with people. When everyone else is serving, you want a job.
Hmm.
So when I'm serving and Lindsay's serving and Nicholas is serving, Leah's going to want a job, right? Like if we're all serving, and to me, this goes to my relationship. If I'm serving Jesus, I'm serving God, she's going to want to do it. Like in the mornings, every single morning looks the same in the Pollock household early in the morning. And you're going to see three of us reading our Bible. Like you're going to see three of us starting our day that way. You know, like if it looks like those three doing it, then the fourth is going to come with the Bible. Like the fourth is going to want to serve. But I thought the story with Jolan.
Yeah. And I think you talk a lot about culture, and I think Dabo Swinney even mentioned culture on the podcast, but culture is really not something you build. Culture really is who you are. And people are going to, you know, we say it all the time, but more is caught than taught. And so if that's the culture. And so if the culture of our church is serving and everybody wants to serve, or the culture of your family is serving, putting others first. And so I shared the story in the early days of our church. We were meeting in a daycare. We had very humble beginnings. We would pull up to the daycare with a cargo trailer with hand-me-down sound equipment.
You rented the daycare your Sunday services.
Yes.
And then you'd have everybody come out.
Everybody show up. We had metal folding chairs. We had an overhead projector with the lyrics. We didn't have like a, you know, now you have the, I don't even know what you call it. What are those things called? Woj, like those big, nice projectors.
They're called projectors. That's just, what's not really.
But they're like,
what are those big fancy things that have lights? Those are projectors, yeah. They're but just anyway, nicer projectors than the one you used to put on a table. And
yeah, we had an overhead projector with like handwritten, Sharpie lyrics.
The ones you used to have in the schools.
Yeah, and like people would like move it up and down, you know. But anyway, we had 40 people, and we were counting unborn children. You know, if any one was pregnant, we were counting those
that
kids.
That seems aggressive, by the way.
Yeah.
How many did y'all have today? Well, there's three pregnant ladies, so plus three.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
And then what happened?
So we'd have the service of the daycare. Then after the service, everybody would pitch in. Like, everybody would, you'd fold up the chairs, take down the sound system, load it all back in the trailer, clean the church, clean the daycare. Well, Joel and our son was 6 years old at the time. We were just starting the church, and he saw that everybody else was serving, so he wanted to serve. And so he came to me and said, I want to do something. What can I do? And I said, well, Joel, we need to take the trash out. You know, one of our big things was we want to leave this place nicer than we found
it. Dang right.
Because we didn't want to, we want to be a good representation of Christ and our church. And so we need to take all the trash out, clean it up, throw it in the dumpster. So you can be in charge of, you know, getting all the trash out. So he got so excited about it. The next Sunday, he shows up. You know, he's got this, and I share with the church, Joel used to be super cute. I mean, he used to be a really, really good-looking kid. Like, he could have been like a Gerber baby.
That is hilarious. Joel used to be a cute kid. Like, he's talking about his son, like, Jolin used to be, and Jolin's here, so we're going to get Jolin's input.
But I'm
like,
right here.
it's crazy.
I'm
right
here.
We were talking about it a second ago, and we were like, where's Jolin? He doesn't have a mic. He's back there in the back. Now Jolin is front and center because he used to be so cute.
I had so many nice young ladies yesterday come and tell me that I'm still cute. So,
how many were under the age of 80?
Do we have any 80-year-olds at church? I don't think we have any of those.
Arlene Jenkins is 86. Arlene.
Look at Pastor Jay right off the top of his head knows the answer to that question.
Big Alabama fan.
So he was cute. He had his polo on.
So he had on his button-down shirt, his shorts, and I think he had some those like...
It doesn't matter. Like, just keep going.
Tevas sandals.
Yeah.
Hey, you're the one that dressed me, dude. I was 6.
Yeah, I think that was your mom. But anyway.
Every 6 year or every parent that has a 6-year-old and a dad out there just went, yep, that was definitely mom, because mom, dads don't dress.
So when Jolin was growing up, he didn't like to wear blue jeans. He either wore shorts or those like athletic tracker pants. You ever seen those?
Yeah,
100%. It's like the basketball pants with the buttons.
Tearaways.
Wears tearaways. Yeah. So anyway, after the service is over, Jolin starts unbuttoning his shirt. I'm like, well, he's getting serious about this job. But underneath his button-down shirt, he had on a white T-shirt, and he had written in Sharpie, Trash Boy.
That's so cool, man. Isn't that cool, though? Like
that was his job. That was his role. He didn't even understand that was like a humble position.
It's a position.
Yes,
100%. So if we all adopted that, like now at the church, and I loved you going too further, like at the church every Sunday at Greystone Church, somebody cleans the bathrooms after the service. Mm-hmm. Somebody cleans the floors. Somebody vacuums. Somebody takes the trash out. Like, I mean, it's really not hard. It's interesting because, you know, Oconee's a smaller campus, but we have a lot of the same people that volunteer all the time. And you always want to find more people that can serve, like, because you kind of get worn out. I mean, y'all probably were worn slapped to the bone because y'all needed every bit of it. And it's just so easy to find those little examples to serve people. It's not difficult to find ways to pour in and find those opportunities and those moments where you could really help. And you can bring your kids along with you, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to go serve at the church and bring your kids, like, it's just... you're teaching them a huge lesson. Like, the fact that it's probably not a surprise that Jolin's working in a church now, because Jolin learned at 6 years old, like, that serving was cool. Like, what if our kids learned that at 6? What if our kids learn that at 7 and 8 and 9 and 10? Like, they're going to be a heck of a lot further down the road than we were. I didn't know how to serve at 6. I'm still learning how to serve and not be the, you know, the butthole that wants to think about me all the time, you know, and my time and how valuable it is and how important it is. I thought that was cool. But you talked about churches and you talked about it's funny. I've been to every program across the country in college football. And every single college program, every single school has the same signs. They all have the same signs. They all have the same.
Wait, what are some of those signs?
Well, it's all the same thing. You know, brotherhood, love of family, you know, hard work. It's all built on the same principles. Like, you know, Coach Rick was finish the drill. Like, they all have these principles and these things, these creeds.
Row the boat.
Yes, that they live by, and there's a meaning behind it. But they all don't work because it's not authentic to everybody. It's not true. They have a sign, but they don't live it. Like, they have the sayings all over the wall of family first, team first, hard work, but they don't preach it.
How do you close the gap between the sign and the actions?
You build it. You do it. You whoever is the person at the top, which was you for Jolin, you're serving. Jennifer's serving. Everybody in the church is serving. You set a standard. You start at the top, and everybody does it. They don't just say it. They don't ask for it. They do it. They set a standard of what it's going to look like. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to serve. I'm going to put players first. Like, the players are going to matter in these programs. My kids are going to matter. Like, dad, newsflash, you're at the top in your family. Like, you are called to be the top in your family. Are you going to put mama first? You can put a sign up. You can put a Bible verse in your house. You can put them all over your house. It don't matter if you ain't going to live it out, if you ain't going to show it, right? Like, that's how they're going to learn. They're going to learn because you're going to do. Dabo Swinney, having him on our podcast. Like, listen to that dude talk. You think there's a surprise why the culture is the way the culture is at Clemson? It's not a surprise.
Do you think players know if the coaches aren't bought in?
Are you kidding me? Are you serious?
I was like, throwing you a little softball there.
I mean, like, not only do we know, like, we talk about it, and we call them out all the time, that they're the butt of the jokes of, I mean, I had a coach with the Bengals that he...
Bengals.
I had a coach with the Bengals, and I so badly am, I'm not going to say his name because it would be so petty to say it. He didn't have a clue what was going on, man. Like, he did not know football. And we literally would talk about it in the room, and he would go over and he would teach me the wrong thing. And I'm learning, by the way, first time playing linebacker in the NFL. These guys are kind of good, like smidge good. Yeah. And he's teaching me something that and I'll ask the why, because I'm a why person. Like, I need to know the answer, but I need to know steps of how to accomplish. That's the way I talk. Like, that's the way I relate to people. That's the way I do everything, because I just don't work with this is how it's done. Okay, I don't know. I don't care why how it's done. Why is it done that way? Like, and I would ask, and I couldn't get the answers of cover two, cover three. I don't know how to play this. I didn't learn in college. I learned how to play defensive line and rush the passer, and I got to the practice field, and I would mess it up, and Coach Lewis was my coach, and he was a DC for all those years with the Ravens. He'd be like, dude, Pollock, you messed it up again. I was like, and my coach, one of my coaches I had was standing, and they'd be like, yeah, come on, I told you in meetings. I'm like, no, you didn't. Like, I know exactly what you told me, brother. Like, and I would get upset. So, no, they don't do it right all the time. Not everybody's like that, and you know. But you, it's just like anything else. You can tell people that are really that man, how cool is it to have people in your life that are different? Like, that you can just feel it. You know it, man. Yeah. They bring a different presence. And that's why guys like Kirby and Dabo, when we talk about coaching world, Scott Drew, like, you don't tell me, having Scott Drew on the podcast after you got to know him, you tell me you wouldn't follow that sucker?
If I was a high school basketball star, I'm going to Baylor.
I mean,
that guy is incredible.
Stud.
Yeah.
I mean, absolute stud. So, yeah, you know when it's, but again, if you're going to have signs in your house, that is great. That is awesome. I want you to have a mantra. I want you to have a family creed. Like, this is what we stand for. We have one in the Pollock household. I know you have one in your household. Like, this is who we are. This is what we stand for. This is what we're trying to get accomplished as a family. But if we don't live it, you can't expect your kids to live it. They won't.
Yeah.
They won't live it.
I think also with the coaching, like the coaches have to model it, but you got to have some key players, like leaders, to step up and buy in. Because I think the younger players are going to follow those. Does that make sense? Like,
does a church work if just the pastor's bought in?
Well, that's where I'm going with this, is I feel like we've got to have key lay leaders.
100%.
Because to me, it means a whole lot more. Like, if I say it, well, of course you're saying it. You're the pastor. But when you have lay leaders who are modeling it and leading it and serving it, and I mean that's where the huge culture.
That's where teams go from, like, it's really cool to have coach-led teams, mm-hmm. and you got some great coaches out there, but the best teams are player-led teams. Like, and again, it's incumbent upon a coach. We have a bunch of kids at North. They are not, like, natural leaders. They are quiet, quiet kids. They don't know how to lead. Like, we have to teach them how to lead. We have to, like, I've literally gone over there to a couple of our kids and I'd be like, hey man, listen, you don't have to be the loudest voice, 100%, but your voice needs to be heard. And it's simple to say to get your voice heard is as simple as, hey, good job, way to run through the line. That's simple, dude. Like, I need you to be engaged in what's going on. You don't have to be Mr. Loud, Mr. Pump You Up, but like find ways for, it's just like with our kids, like we got to find ways where we can teach, like we can make them pray. And when they pray with us and in a family, they feel a little bit more comfortable. And then they might go to small group and pray. Like Nicholas, you couldn't get him to pray in front of anybody. Now, small group every time, who wants to pray? You know, his hand's flying up, you know? And so, but I think it's just like anything else. We got to teach him how to lead in that small atmosphere with us, mm-hmm. in a confined atmosphere, and then stretch him. And then stretch them, and then stretch them. But yeah, you have to have people that are around you that are willing to take that message and to further it in their own style, in their own way, not your way. Like, we can't all be Dabo. Like, we've had Dabo on. That dude can sit there, he could sit and preach a sermon in Greystone Church for 16 hours. Ask Pastor Jay, because Pastor Jay got one question in the first like 45 minutes. Hey, I'm Pastor Jay. Nice to meet you. Like, right? Like, he could easily
feel
do
like
that.
Dabo didn't really get to know me.
Well, that's probably a good thing, because Tony Dungy didn't either. So if you don't know the joke behind that, by the way, Pastor Jay Pastor Jay brings his A game most of the time. The Tony Dungy interview, he brought his D game. If it's a passing grade, he got tongue tied. It was a hot mess. It was not one of your better days. Agreed.
We're in season 5, and you're still bringing up Tony Dungy.
It was applicable to the moment. I mean,
so we had a buddy of ours spent the night this weekend, and he's a big podcast listener. He's from Birmingham, Alabama, and of course, he brings up Tony Dungy.
I love that so much. That
he's makes like, me he's so like, happy. Are you having a Tony Dungy moment? Oh, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, like he's like a podcast insider, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
he's a fan of the podcast.
He's a fan of the podcast. And so I wanted to get back to this whole serving and culture, because I love the idea. I mean, if you're a leader of an organization, of course, being the pastor of a church, like having an army of volunteers, like having a group of people, like, and that's the only way we're able to pull off some things that we're able to pull off at the church, like sports camp. Like, we literally have 300-400 people serving every night of the week. And then we had like 100 kids, you know, I think there are 900 kids that came, and like 100 committed their lives to Jesus Christ. So you can do some things when you have all this buy-in and all this service and all this amazing people. So we're honored.
Many hands make light work.
That's like the fourth time I've heard that this week. So,
yeah. Like when you have.
It must be a Bible verse. Is that a Bible verse?
Yeah.
What reference is it?
I don't know.
Or is preacher, it a Chinese I don't proverb?
Know. Preacher man, but.
I've been. So Joe and I are reading through the Bible in a year, which he's a little bit behind. I'm not going to throw him under the bus or anything.
I mean, you just did.
But I'm glad he's doing it with me. Are you jumping to the microphone?
A little behind is an understatement.
But I was re- so we read through we I read through Proverbs recently, and there were so many verses that I thought were just sayings. And I'm like, oh, that's an actual Bible verse.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Which is, again, I love when you say stuff like that because everybody at home thinks the same thing. Like, we all do the same thing. Like, oh, that's a Bible verse?
I didn't realize that was, you know, like.
No, that was a book in the Bible. I mean, like, that doesn't make you a horrible Christian. Like,
yeah.
But I think that. If you want to get wisdom, good, you can just go through the Proverbs. Like you could change your life reading Proverbs for sure. So, but I thought it was a great message.
So I finished the message yesterday, and we'll close with this. Is Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus it talks about the second coming, and he talks about, you know, the king being on his throne, and he says, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And the reason why, he says, is for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And the righteous will answer him. The godly will answer him. Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you something to drink? When do we see a stranger invite you in needing clothes and clothing? When do we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And I think the true Christianity and true faith is caring for the least of these.
James, right?
Yeah. Yeah, James says faith without deeds is dead. And so I think how often are we serving the least of these? I think you mentioned it with the foot washing, that no one is beneath us serving. And one of the greatest ministries we have the church is our prison ministry, going and visiting the prisoners and taking them gifts and Bibles. And, you know, they're doing the discipleship books with Pastor Jay.
Oh, that's cool.
Prison.
That's, you know, awesome. So I think to finish it and to hammer home the last point, then who is God calling you to serve? Like, where are you being led? Where do you feel like there's an area where you can plug in and make a difference? And don't think, I think we all got to, again, we got to get out of the mindset of this huge overarching thing, but what can I do that's tangible that I can go serve? Mm-hmm. How can I include my family? Like, I think it's really important. If you've got a family, include my family, like include your family, but where can you plug in and go make a difference that will make a difference in one person that then makes a difference in another person and another person and another person?
Yeah, and different people are passionate about different things, and so find a place that you're passionate about. So maybe it's prison ministry, maybe it's crisis pregnancy center, maybe it's unwed pregnant moms, you know, or whatever. I mean,
whatever
it could be feeding the poor. It could be children's ministry, student ministry, hurricane relief. So I think that's a great question: is what is God calling you to do? Who is God calling you to serve? Who does God want you to help?
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals Podcast with David Pollack and Pastor Jay. The path of the godly is through a life of service. Jesus, the Son of God, was the ultimate example of how to serve others. So when I was 6 and everyone in the church had a job, I wanted a job. When I saw everyone working for one common goal, I wanted in. So my application for today is, are you serving? Are you serving your spouse? Are you serving your kids? Are you serving your family? Are you serving your coworkers, the people that are around you every day? Find ways to put those people around you first. Use that perfect model that Jesus set out for us and live a life of the godly. If you are serving others, take a look around you. Who is someone that you can encourage to serve? Give somebody a job. Someone out there is looking for ways to serve. They just need someone to give them a job. Empowering those around you can be the best thing that you can do. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter @FamilyGoalsPod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.